From the University of Arkansas at Little Rock, KUAR Public Radio brings you Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, the only program on radio today dedicated to the preservation of comparative generational thought, with your host, Phil Marriage. Welcome to the Crossroads of History.
Hi, and welcome to Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. Our program this evening comes right out of our headlines, even though it was recorded back in May of 2009. Infidelity has been all over the headlines lately, and even though we all find it hard to accept, it's been with us forever. Every generation has had its share of headline-grabbing stories about infidelity, but what do we really know about the subject? I think you'll enjoy this archive program on infidelity, recorded only 2 years ago in 2009. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. I'm Phil Marriage. Glad you guys are with us. And our topic today is infidelity. And before we get into the program, I do want to remind you that if you can't stay with us or you'd like to listen to the longer version, all you have to do is go to yttshow.org and click on the Listen button. You'll be able to listen to the longer version there. And also, while you're there, if you want to discuss the program, there's a place there where you can put your two cents in on this topic. I do have a focus question there. What is the main reason people choose to be unfaithful? And if you do write in, make sure you designate if you're an older, middle, or younger generation person. That way we'll kind of get a flavor for what everybody's thinking on this topic. And I have to mention at the outset, when I come to the studio, everybody usually asks me, what's the topic you're going to do today? And I mentioned infidelity, and everybody's eyes raise, and they all have something to say about it. It's pros and cons, and they have their little stories to tell. It's definitely something that's involving every generation. I have three terrific guests with me here today. Speaking from the older generation is Dr. Frank Smith Pittman. He was born in 1935, 74 years old. He's a psychologist and author. He's written a regular column, Ask Dr. Frank, which used to appear in Psychology Today, and he's the author of Private Lies, Infidelity, and Betrayal of Intimacy. And he's also the author of books Grow Up, How Taking Responsibility Can Make You a Happy Adult, and Turning Points, Treating Families in Transition and Crisis. Dr. Pittman joins us from Atlanta, Georgia, where he practices family therapy, and he's been active as a psychiatrist practicing family therapy since 1962 and still happily married to Betsy for over these past 50 years. Dr. Pittman, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
And then joining us from Freehold, New Jersey, speaking from the middle generation, is Tony DiLorenzo. He's the media director and founder of Infidelity.com. He's also appeared on the Today Show, Oprah, 2020, many other programs. He and his wife, Don Rickey, are the founders of Allstate Investigations Incorporated and have co-written the book Warning Signs, How to Know If Your Partner is Cheating and What to Do About It. Tony DiLorenzo, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And then joining us from New York is Naomi Schaefer Riley. She's author with the Wall Street Journal article, The Young and the Restless, Why Infidelity is Rising Among 20-somethings. Ms. Riley is the Journal's deputy taste editor. Naomi Riley, welcome to our program.
Thanks very much for having me.
Naomi, I kind of want to start with you. Normally, I usually start the program by going back to the older generation, bringing us forward. In this particular topic on infidelity, I'm really curious as to what the younger generation's attitude is about infidelity. Can you start us off with where the younger generation is in their thinking on infidelity?
Sure. Well, let me just start off with some numbers, because I think this is worth saying that between 1991 and 2006, the numbers of unfaithful wives under 30 increased by 20% and unfaithful husbands increased by 45%. Now, those are some pretty shocking numbers, I think. What's most interesting is that the younger generation is actually very conservative in its views on infidelity. I think about 90% of people under 30 when polled always say it's wrong. So I think, you know, when I was researching this article, what I found that it was really less the attitudes people had than the habits of their lives. A lot of younger people, as you know, probably are getting married later in life. They're having longer cohabitations. There are more opportunities for infidelity once they're already married. And they also sort of tend to think of marriage as almost just another long-term relationship. So those are some of the factors that I found in researching my article about young people.
When I was reading your article, it kind of jumped out to me that is it just that the younger generation maybe is a little more honest about infidelity, whereas we'll find out from the other generations if maybe they were a little more reserved. Your statistics show a large increase, but maybe does it have anything to do with that the younger people just like to talk about that sort of stuff?
It could be, but I would think that given that their attitudes are that it's so wrong, I wouldn't think that that would be the first explanation for it. I mean, they're obviously, I would think that people who think so strongly that it's wrong would also be embarrassed to admit it among themselves.
Not if they can blame their husband or wife for that person's infidelity, for their infidelity, and they don't have to take responsibility for their behavior if they can believe that if marriage is not making you happy, then you don't owe any loyalty to it.
The older generation, were they definitely reserved in talking about infidelity, Dr. Pittman?
There wasn't as much infidelity, and whatever infidelity there was seemed to create a scandal of some sort, and people were rejected socially because of it. They really disapproved quite strongly. And we don't know exactly what they did because people lie to poll takers. Now, I think as a psychiatrist, people don't lie to me because they have to pay to get to tell me their story.
Right, but I think if you're comparing years, I wouldn't think that between 1991 and 2006 there would be some significant increase in people lying about their infidelity. I mean, they're only 15 years apart. I wouldn't say most people would say the mores of society have changed so much in those 15 years that you would see a big increase in lying. So I think the increase seems to have some truth to it.
Naomi, what you see in your polls, what you see in your research is exactly what I see in my office. I'm seeing more and more women who are having affairs. The moment their pants hit the floor, they're declaring that my husband is making me do this. But they're anticipating a divorce. I mean, they're willing to just blow the whole life apart over the infidelity.
That is one thing I found in talking to a lot of marriage researchers, is that fewer people seem to want to work out the problems after infidelity, that they kind of think that that is the end, of, at least among young people. They don't have this sense, I have to stick out this marriage.
Tony? This is Tony. In our investigation field, what we find is true, where, you know, everyone has an excuse why they cheat. You know, the women, husbands are working 16 hours now, you know, commuting back and forth, and they're bored, and they say, well, you know, I want to have my own life. I'm not happy with my life. So if I cheat, that it makes me able to do what I want. And then when the husband finds out about it, then they say, I'm sorry, I never do it again. And that's why a lot of people come to me, and a lot of times they go back to therapists to try to work on it. But eventually they come back to me because they're not happy in a relationship to start.
Well, Tony, you mentioned about the men working the 16 hours. Isn't it in our society today, aren't the women doing almost as much work, if not more?
We actually got an increase in the past 6 months where a lot of men who got laid off, the women went back to work, and then they're actually hiring us because the same is reversed now, that the men are bored during the day. They don't know what to do to keep occupied, and what happens, they usually go out and they, you know, are meeting people either on the internet or just socially, and now the women are actually hiring us because their husbands are home doing nothing. They're having their affairs. It's actually reversal probably in the past 12 months.
Well, Tony, let me stay with you and ask you about the investigations that you do, and bringing it back to the statistics that Naomi was talking about. Do you think that the younger generation versus your middle generation, that there is any really difference in the amount of lying that's going on?
Well, I think she was right. You know, the younger generation is actually getting married much later. So if they're getting married 26, 27, 28 years old, by the time they're 30, it's only a couple years into the marriage, they're actually still on the honeymoon. We always said, you know, give them the 7-year itch where they're settled in their relationships, they're settled in their work, and now the restlessness comes in, either with the children or the working long hours, and that's usually where we see a lot of people come to us. If they get married at, you know, 30, then it's like, you know, 35 to 40, we're having trouble. But that 7 years is usually a good span to see when the problems start, and your infidelity usually falls into place.
Mm-hmm. If I can just jump in here for a second, the researchers that I spoke with actually said that the 7-year itch is not always the case, and actually that they found that most cheating actually takes place within the first 3 years of marriage and within 6 months of the birth of the first child, which to me implies that a lot of these people who are just hitting 30 or maybe just above it are actually in prime cheating time, could be. So that was one thing that certainly surprised me in my interviews.
Well, the two biggest times that we find people cheat is exactly what you said, during when the child is being born, and also we find is when the last child is graduating high school. And the man might come to me and say, you know, I was a good provider, I was in love with my wife, I did the right thing, I put my kids, they're on their own right now, and now I want to live the life I want, and I don't want to be with my wife, and he happens to cheat. So when we catch him, that's usually what we hear. The women are telling us what their husbands are saying to them after they get caught.
Well, Dr. Pittman, is that true, what you're finding in your work there, about the same statistic?
Yes, it is true. But men feel the need to be a hero to somebody. And if they're not doing it at work, if they're not achieving great things at work, they may want to seduce some woman that they know a bit at work. They want to find some way in which it's not their fault. They want to find some way in which they get to be seen as hot stuff.
And it's so rampant in college. 20 years ago, you couldn't even talk about AIDS. Now you talk about AIDS while you're having dinner. And when people have an affair, I always go, when I do shows and stuff, I say, you go to a major hotel on a Monday through a Thursday between 5 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and you see two couples there holding hands and kissing, I guarantee you they might be married but not to each other. And what happens is that it's so accepted today where, you know, we have married guys who hire me to follow their girlfriends on the weekend because they're with the wife on the weekend and they want to make sure that the person they're dating during the week is not doing anything wrong.
Well, there's also, an interesting thing here, which is sort of what's seen as socially acceptable. Some of the people I was interviewing were from older generations, and one woman who's a marriage researcher said to me that when she was growing up, sort of friendships between a married man and a married woman were not really acceptable. That it was, you know, if you were a young woman with a male friend and you both went off and got married to different people, your friendship would either basically end or it would only continue as couples. And now, she said, you know, it's very common for, you know, a married man or a married woman to go out after work, or at least go out for lunch, with a colleague who's also married, and sort of even that social acceptability kind of creates more opportunities for young people as well.
The time in my life when divorced women were no longer invited to social occasions because women were afraid that the divorced woman would be pursuing her husband.
We see that all the time too. That's correct, because we have women, like you said, who are divorced. And now they're afraid that, you know, exactly what you said, that when they're at parties, they're going to come on to their husbands and stuff. And the husbands think that here's a woman who's single and she's ripe now, ready for the pickings to be with someone. And we see that a lot. And a lot of times that person actually gets pushed out of the group because, you know, the wives are the ones who are starting the trouble.
We're talking about infidelity today here on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow, and my guest from the older generation is Dr. Frank Pittman, joining us from Atlanta, Georgia, where he's a family therapist there, and he wrote the book Private Lies, Infidelity, and Betrayal in Intimacy. And our middle generation guest is Tony DiLorenzo. He is the media director and founder of Infidelity.com, and he and his wife, Dawn Rickey, are the authors of Warning Signs, How to Know If Your Partner is Cheating and What to Do About It. He's joining us from Freehold, New Jersey. And our younger generation guest joining us from New York is Naomi Schaefer Riley. She's the author of the Wall Street Journal article, The Young and the Restless, Why Infidelity is Rising Among 20-somethings. And Ms. Riley is the Journal's deputy taste editor. Naomi Riley, let me ask you one thing about your article there. The word that stuck out in the early part of the article, and you mentioned it just a minute ago, was opportunity. I'd like to ask all three of the generations about opportunity. Let me go with you, Dr. Pittman, first. What opportunities were available for infidelity in that older generation time frame?
There was not a lot of possibility. People meet people to have affairs with at work. They're more likely to get involved there. Although the most notorious case in our little church in Alabama, they had picked up one another at church and would continue going to church and then drop by the church service later. When people are looking for somebody to have an affair with, they want somebody they haven't hurt yet. They want somebody who's not likely to be mad with them. They get plenty of that at home. And some of the nicest places where the nicest people get together seem to be ripe for picking up strength.
Well, Tony, what about opportunity in that middle time frame?
Well, I think what happened, it's very common today because in my father's day when he did it, because my father's 80 years old and has been retired 25 years, you know, they only had, you know, the four-hour motels or they're doing it in the car. Today you still have the four-hour motels, but today you have the women have their own condos, so it's easier for a person to meet a woman who's single saying, you know, I don't need to go up to a motel. You could just come back to my place for a few drinks. So I think the opportunity is very easy today. And plus a lot of women in the workforce, a lot of women now traveling, you know, where they're alone on different locations. So I think it's just very easy and it's very rampant today also.
Naomi, opportunity, you mentioned it in your article.
Yeah, well, obviously, I think electronic communication and cell phones are two of the biggest ways that it's become easier, at least to arrange affairs. If not, you know, obviously, you still have to meet the person in person eventually. But as far as kind of covering your tracks, and you don't have to worry about the other woman or the other man, you know, calling your home and your spouse answering the phone. So I think that, you know, opportunity is definitely easier. And like I said, also because it's sort of more socially acceptable for single men and single women to go out. But I would emphasize that most of the researchers I spoke with suggested that opportunity was not really it. I mean, ultimately, you still have to, you know, you still have to think that this is an okay idea on some level, and you still have to be there in person.
I would add, you don't even have to meet. There are people who get into affairs that break up marriage, in my practice, without ever meeting the person. Just a whole lot of electronic communications. They've got somebody who will listen to them like their best girlfriend, so they make a relationship without ever having to get sexual, without ever having to actually meet anywhere.
Well, now, Dr. Pittman, you're leading me to a question I had regarding one of the words in your book, and that is betrayal. It seems to me when you're talking about infidelity that betrayal is really at the crux of the whole thing. Talk to me a little bit about what betrayal means to people in that older generation, and then we'll get the same from the other generations. Is it different now than was for you, betrayal?
The only thing that a couple who gets married agrees to is that they won't mess around sexually or romantically with somebody else. I mean, that's the one rule that you can't break, and all hell breaks loose. People do feel betrayed. People do feel that they must be loathsome and disgusting, or they wouldn't have been treated this way by someone they had loved so. They don't seem to realize, or the women who are being betrayed, and the men too, don't seem to understand that it has nothing to do with them. It somehow is an effort to rebuild the ego of people who are not having a good time that day. Their life is not the constant state of ecstatic wonder that their narcissism had taught them to expect. And so they pout wildly, and it's only fair that they would betray their marriage partner.
So now, if for that older generation, does betrayal equal fear?
Yes, certainly. Certainly. Betrayal leads to you can't feel safe. You can't feel that this any longer is your own life. There are other people who are being told your secrets. There are other people who are sleeping in your bed, in your pajamas even.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, Tony, going into the middle generation and even into your father's work, and I'm reminded of the current television show Mad Men. It really kind of does display men in that time frame when the idea of betrayal comes to my mind. It kind of take me through betrayal for middle generation people.
One of the things that the doctor said there is that, you know, a lot of people who are cheated on, they always feel like they did something wrong, and they always feel like they're the victim. We always say that they're the survivors of the infidelity because they really probably did nothing wrong. And that's why the website we have, that's infidelity.com, it's a website to show people immediate help for how to cope with the cheater. And then we have a discussion board. We must have 50,000 postings where people will write about, this happened to me 3 months ago, 6 months ago, 2 years ago, and people start writing to them saying, look, you're not alone anymore. It's a common thing, and here's how we got through it. So I think in the betrayal part, it's the same, I think, in any generation. You know, the older generation, they're afraid of getting hurt coming home. But I think here, a lot of people are in betrayal. But also, what we find is that 75% of women who catch their spouse having an affair with children would usually take the spouse back if they're sorry for it and go to therapy. And we also find that 75% of men who catch their girlfriend or wife having an affair would usually leave them.
I haven't found that in my practice.
So, Tony, are you saying that the men are hurt more by the betrayal than the women are?
But also I think the men are hurt more that I think that it's hard for them to go back to his wife and girlfriend knowing that someone else already took their space. I think part of the men's point of view, I think it's more of an ego thing than an emotional thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Naomi Riley, the word betrayal, does it mean something different to younger people?
I don't think it means something different, but I do think that, as I said at the beginning, one effect of getting married later for younger people is that they've had quite a number of long-term relationships by the time they reach marriage. And in a sense, they've actually probably had a number of betrayals as well. I mean, that is that these 2 or 3 year relationships, which they've often had more than one of, have ended one way or the another, sometimes with cheating, for instance. And so I think, you know, they almost become sort of callous about the whole thing and sort of, or try to hide, you know, what their feelings are, but they've almost become used to the idea that these long-term relationships, often where you're living with the other person, when you sort of trust them and kind of let them into your lives completely, that those things can end. And I think it sort of colors young people's views of marriage in that way.
Well, Tony, I want to come back to a word that fits right into what you do with the investigation, and that is the secrecy element of it here. Is secrecy, let me stay with you, is secrecy really at the core of infidelity, for especially for middle-generation people? Do they find ways to keep it secret?
You know, what happens, that's the excitement in having an affair, is the secret, the sneaking around, the planning it out, and that's you know, the big arousal for it. But, you know, they all want to be secret about it because, of course, no one wants to be found out, especially at work. You know, there's a lot of consequences if you get caught, which most people don't think about, but, you know, the secrecy is definitely there.
What about, Dr. Pittman, in that older generation, how did they handle the secrecy aspect?
Well, they work very hard at keeping it secret, and they lie, they deny it, they go to a lot of trouble, because there are consequences. There are terrible consequences. Divorce is a hell of a thing to go through, particularly for the children. Nobody ever purchases anything quite so expensive as a divorce. It's hell. And yet, on the off chance that this person who's messing around with a married man might be the love of his life, he may be willing to risk everything for somebody that he just met. And at that moment, the caution is lost. And at that moment, people do very foolish things and leave a paper trail that most anybody can follow.
Most people would think they never would get caught, so they always have them back in their mind. I never get caught. I'm too smart for this.
Well, Naomi, is secrecy a big element in infidelity for young people, or do they care?
You know, like I said, I think with all the technology, I think it's pretty easy in some sense to have that level of secrecy. But I think what Dr. Pittman was saying about the question of divorce seems to be ripe, especially because I think a lot of young people are, you know, there's such a high rate of being the products of divorce. And so in that sense, it's almost surprising that they don't, that there is this sort of increasing rate of infidelity among young people, because a lot of them, I would think, have sort of seen the effects of it on their own lives.
That's a really good point. In fact, elaborate a little bit more on that, if you would, Naomi.
I'm not sure to what extent how much infidelity drives the divorce rate, but I think if you can make the connection, you know, and say, like, why put my marriage at risk, young people, I'm surprised that they're not asking themselves that question more often, saying,
I am too.
Would I want my kids to end up like me in what usually is at least somewhat unhappy situation?
I've been working with couples for almost 50 years. I've seen a lot of divorces, but I've only seen a half dozen or so out of the 15,000 couples that I've worked with. I've only seen about a handful of them who got a divorce without somebody being unfaithful.
Really?
And usually keeping it secret to the very end. There is no divorce without infidelity. There may be people who are sick of their marriage, but that's what therapists are for. I mean, my God, people have affairs when they could take a Prozac. It's crazy. They take the most expensive play toy anybody can find in life and choose that over just taking a pill or something that, if they're unhappy, this will make them happy.
And we have women who come to me where they say that, you know, my husband is now, he had to move out because he couldn't handle the pressure at home, me arguing with them. I said, listen, if he didn't have someone to run to, he could sleep in the second bedroom, he could sleep on the couch, he could sleep in the basement, so he could still be in the household. By him being at the house, you know, your percentage of him having an affair is very strong, because that gives him an opportunity to come in when he wants, not always having you on the offense of what he's doing, and that's why when they hire us, usually probably 90 to 95% of the time, when a man moves out of the house, he says, oh, I'm living with my brother, I'm living with my mother, you know, during the time, the wife would go by 2 o'clock in the morning, of course the guy's not there, they know that, you know, they knew he's seen someone, and they just come to us to put it in black and white.
My experience, men never leave a marriage without being in an affair.
Correct.
But there are women who don't consider themselves as having had affairs because they've merely spent 17 hours a day on the phone with their kid's baseball coach talking about all of the ways in which the husband doesn't give them orgasms right and all the things that she would never say to her husband. I mean, she can form an attachment that never gets consummated and leave for that attachment, even if the guy doesn't have a job, even if it would be a very foolish match, a very impractical match to get into. But women may not have to have the affair to go to. It's possible.
Naomi, chime in on this. You're the woman on our panel here today. What do you think?
Oh, I'm just the journalist on the panel. I'm not sure I want to be the woman on the panel. But I just wanted to mention one of the other things that came up in my research, which may bear on this question of where people go when they've cheated or why they're not as committed to their marriages as we might think they would be, which is a lot of young people are engaged in these very, it doesn't always have to be with members of the opposite sex, but putting off marriage later also means you form some very strong friendships, even with members of the same sex. And some sociologists have speculated that this sort of forms a tribe for you, like a family, you know, like, you know, the show Friends is probably an example of this, where you don't have to go back to your brother or your mother or something like that. You have these other adult friends who almost form part of your family, and your strong connections with them can actually weaken in some ways your connections with your spouse.
Or looking at it the other way around, in my generation, people had sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and grandfathers and had a full family full of relatives who were very much aware of your history, past, present, were committed to holding your marriage together to make your life work. The people that folks meet at work or in the running club or at the symphony or wherever they go to meet people, they surround themselves with people who are not connected over time. They're not connected with you. They're not committed to your marriage. They may not even know your husband or wife. They're not committed to anything except the friendship, not the real life on the outside. We can't rely on the people who don't share our history. We can't rely on them to help us protect our marriages at times when we're doing something foolish and narcissistic and self-serving that anybody else can look at and see is going to lead nowhere, but which we invest in if we don't have people who care about us who keep us from doing it.
We've been talking about infidelity today here on Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow. I've really enjoyed the discussion, and let me tell you right now, as we wind up the program, there's so much more available to you on this topic on our podcast, and you can catch that at yttshow.org. Just click on Listen, and you'll find this podcast there. My guests today, and I really want to thank them for joining me on this discussion on infidelity, speaking from that older generation has been Dr. Frank Smith Pittman. He is the author of Private Lies, Infidelity, and Betrayal of Intimacy, and he also used to write the Ask Dr. Frank articles in Psychology Today. Dr. Pittman, thanks for being with us here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Tony DeLorenzo has been speaking from that middle generation. He's the media director and founder of Infidelity.com. He was on the Today Show, Oprah 2020, various other radio and TV programs. He and his wife have written the book, Warning Signs, How to Know If Your Partner is Cheating and What to Do About It. Tony DeLorenzo, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
And speaking from the younger generation has been Naomi Schaefer Riley. She's the author of the Wall Street Journal article, The Young and the Restless, Why Infidelity is Rising Among 20-somethings. And she is the Journal's deputy taste editor, and she joined us from New York. Thanks for being with us, Naomi. I sure appreciate
it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
And if you have a comment about our program on infidelity, you can go to the yttshow.org website, click on Discuss the Show, and there'll be a place there where you can leave your comment. And as a reminder, make sure you tell us if you're an older, middle, or younger generation. Thanks so much for listening today. We'll see you next week. Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow is a production of KUAR Public Radio, Little Rock.